joined today by John Rosa.
Good morning.
Good to have you back.
Happy August.
It's here we go. Which, by the way, folks, just so you know, no matter what's happening, Puffer Belly Day, we do have the first Saturday of the month, household hazardous waste drop-off That's at the landfill
right.
for a couple hours Saturday morning. If you've been cleaning things out and you're going, how am I going to get rid of these? What am I going to do?
What do I do with them?
Here we go.
That's right.
Within reason, of course.
Yeah, we'll do what we can to help you with that during that time. But yes, the Saturday household hazardous waste collection we started a couple years ago, opening up on the first Saturday of the month. So we're doing that this Saturday from 8:30 to 10:30 at the landfill. Sometimes it moves, but generally we try to get that information out to everybody. But this one's at the landfill. If you've done this before, you just go to the second gate, go over to the household hazardous waste area, the collection building, and we'll have that staffed and someone can help you out. If you haven't done that before, what we're talking about is aerosol cans, oil-based paint, stuff that has been sitting around, cleaners, all that kind of stuff that maybe you're done with it. It's just been sitting there that I don't know if it works anymore, if it's good, bad, I don't know.
Lawn fertilizer.
Yes, chemicals, Roundup, if you're, you know, that type of stuff. Stuff that's just like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
Let us help you out. So bring it on out.
Don't pour it down the drain.
Please don't. No. Yeah. Don't just dump it out in the ground. We want to protect our waters. So bring it out to the household hazardous waste collection. We'll get staff there that are knowledgeable enough to know that, yep, we can take that or no, we cannot. And we will do everything we can to take what we can. But there's certain regulations, kind of like on everything, I guess, we do at the landfill of what we're able to accept. So we will take what we can. We'll pick through. If you have latex paint, we'll
send
that
home
back with you. Then you get to dry it out, and then it can go as regular garbage. But there's some times when we're not really sure if we can take that, but we will maybe take it and then try to figure it out later and get it to the right spot. So we want it to be safe. It's a safety thing. We want to be doing what we can to help out.
I want to emphasize again, households, sorry, producers, you know, unless you were using it on your farm, like in your yard. For your household, you know, treating your yard or something like that, I suppose. But otherwise, you usually have more volume than what they're dealing with here.
And this is for residents.
Yeah,
so
for
just
residents.
To specify, it's residential stuff. So if you talk about farmers, that's their business. So that is classified as a business. We can still help you. There's just some loopholes to go through or some hoops to jump through hoops to jump through to do that. So we can contact who we work with, this Metro Waste Authority.
And they're set up more for the large scale.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, we got that. It's only for a couple hours. Now this, if you don't have your things set aside and you're going like, Megan, what am I going to do now? Call for an appointment.
That's right.
Don't panic.
Yep.
We're here to help.
If you can't wait till then, or if you want to wait till afterwards because you can't make it, just call us up. We can do that during the week, Monday through Friday, during our normal operating hours by appointment. So just call us. Tell us what you have, when you can make it. We'll schedule something so that you can meet someone there and we can get it handled accordingly and send you on your way.
All right. So first Saturday, so we'll get that. The next actually one on the road will be in October. You'll be down in Madrid.
That's right.
So
yep.
The only other one was in June. You did it here in Boone at DMAC. So.
That's right.
Again, still it works out well. And the big thing is just divert it from getting it into
That's
the
right.
landfill.
Yep.
Well, we do know that. I got to go back. I want to go back to the methane because we talked about it last time, and then you had said we're going to bring this information to the supervisors. They have agreed to work with this company, Pine Ridge, right?
Pine Creek.
Pine Creek.
Yep.
And they feel that there might be some viability to harvesting methane from the Boone County landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is one of those things that we've talked about more than once.
Yeah.
Do we have the size to make it worthwhile? Is it cost effective? They want to find out. So they've asked to at least do some studies on it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's where we're at.
Yep, an LOI, letter of intent, or letter of, to explore it, to give them the opportunity to come in and do what they need to do do some probing and stuff to see what kind of, how much, what kind of quantity we're talking about, what the quality of it is, et cetera. So if we're talking about the methane gas that's sitting in the landfill. So that's been typical. It's been, you know, talked about for a lot of years through us anyway at the landfill about how much we're producing. And it's always been a threshold of you need to get, need to be big enough, produce enough in order to justify the building of the equipment, the whole process of it.
That actually does the collection and then makes use of it. Yeah.
Yep. So. And so it's always been this magic number of, I guess probably the engineers had to come up with something. So there's 100,000 ton per year is what was needed. And we've been below that. A few years, in the past few years, we've been pushing higher and higher, unfortunately, bringing in more, and so maybe we're up high enough, but still not hitting that threshold, that magic number. But maybe technology is changing, and there's this company approached us about, well, we think we can make this work. And I think there's some good things about it, that where we are in relation to pipelines and stuff, and how they can process the methane, the landfill gas coming out, and purify it enough to send it down the road and have access to a pipeline. So things to work through, but it's pretty exciting. I find it quite intriguing. There's a lot of so many good things, and that's in our talks. It's like, this sounds really good. This is good, and this is good, and this is good, and this is good.
But
where's the bad? Yeah, you know, a little skeptical, but so far, you know, how it sounds is really, 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 really good. And with not any drawbacks. So, and of course, you know, let's proceed cautiously.
As we do, you know, yep. Is it too good to be true?
So there's...
Well, and the big thing, and you've said it before too, you know, if this is something that can be usable, that's fine. Is it going to be a benefit to the landfill? Yeah, you don't have to deal with it. I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a hazard for you guys.
That's for sure. Yes. It's a bad thing. And, you know, having the methane and have it released, and it slowly releases into the air, you know, it works its way through like a gas well. excuse me. But when it releases into the environment, it's worse than carbon dioxide being released. So can we not do that? There's one option, is to just burn it all off, turn it into carbon dioxide, make it less harmful. Or maybe we can do something good with it, and that's what this company's talking about doing. So it'd be a compilation of a flare system as a backup. So if the other equipment is not running, whatever it might be, or they're not able to keep up, they could burn some of it off just to regulate that.
Ooh, mostly, that'll excite some of the neighbors, won't it?
Big fire. Contained fire at the landfill. but otherwise, they're looking at processing and piping it out and doing something good with it. So I think that's pretty interesting and exciting to do something, not just taking it and from a really bad thing and making it less bad, but actually doing something good with it. Yeah. And there might be some financial payoff for us as well. Some good money too. So there's
which
really
is one of the things is, what's this going to cost me? That's one of the first things you come you go, what's this going to cost me?
Yeah. Well, and what I've talked about too is, like, usually when there's something, I want to do something environmentally good, usually there's an expense, a dollar figure attached to that, to be like, well, can you justify it then? Or vice versa, you do something really, you know, make a lot of money, but maybe there's a harmful, you know, environmental component to that. Whereas this seems to be both good things. There's costs, and it's not going to cost us anything, maybe even make some money, and we do the right thing environmentally. So a win-win, if you will, and we'll see. But we're in the next phase of saying, okay, let's check it out. Let's explore this farther. Let's see what we can really do. And so it's kind of an exciting time for sure, and we'll see what happens. Keep you posted.
That's the big thing.
Stay tuned.
We are being cautious, and once again, it's the study and the information that they're going to accumulate, that's going to be at their cost, their expense. They're interested, and they approached you.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, I know you've been approached by different companies in the past too. This one just seemed to be have a little more information available for you up front.
So. Yep. And there's a couple other landfills in the state that have, one is actually, they're in the building production of it. And I talked to that administrator there, and their design is a little bit different. They're actually bringing in he called it a hub and spoke concept, which is something that recycling has done for a while, but this would be bringing in the methane into their facility even to then use it for beneficial use. So a little different design for them, and but this the company is looking at so, this method for us.
So they have a fair reputation.
Yeah.
We'll say.
And then they're talking to another landfill had signed on or did the LOI to say, yes, mm-hmm. let's explore it. So they're already in the works with that. And, you know, I'm sure there's that idea that get more landfills and then we can have, they could have staff. So we won't even staff this. They'll be hiring people to maintain and make sure everything's working properly at their facilities. So at the plant,
see what happens.
A lot of good stuff.
Let's get to our recycling. One of the news things that's out. Already we've seen some states do away with the recycling symbol, the arrows chasing arrows things. And I know that's one of the things EPA is looking at. Is there a better idea, a better way to do this and stuff? And yeah, I know there's a variety of things out there too. I also got some information this week. I saw it. I actually printed this out so I could remember to read the whole thing here. It says roughly 2/3 of all household recyclables, this is nationwide in the USA, or about 32 million tons, is lost.
Mm.
And these are things we've talked about in the past due to lack of access for recycling or participation in the program. And by lack of access, we mean, where's the market? You know, we've talked about market, you know. And that's why certain things that we recycle, we have a market for, or our cohorts do this
yep.
down in the metro. They have a market for it. Cardboard, I know we could do a market for that. But there are things, there are so many others, that, and they say plastics in particular. And, of course, that's what we talk, that's where... Not everything is recyclable where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that with the changes with that, you know, and the, but yeah, we have to have a market ultimately. I mean, yes, we can take whatever material it might be to say, we got to stop burying this. We're going to do something good with it. But if we don't have any place to go with it, what do we do with it? So we tried that with pallet recycling a few years ago, and yeah, there was some good things about it. We had a market for it, had a company that could use it. It was all working. And then suddenly, oh, they got a little more selective on the pallets that they wanted and didn't want to put the labor into repairing them and doing that. Mm-hmm. So then ultimately, we couldn't justify collecting those, stacking them, going through the process for the pallets. So we kind of essentially did away with those.
I remember when you tried shingles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the idea was there, but...
And it was good, you know, overall. I mean, there was the expense that we went through, but keeping those out of the landfill was certainly a good bonus. Having the shingles piled up onto a concrete pad where we could store them, and then we could haul them down to Des Moines to have them ground up, and they could reproduce, you know, recycle them, reprocess them into something else, a different material. That was all wonderful, but then they ran out. They actually had quite a pile built up at their facility and said, we can't take any more. So then we don't have a market for the shingles to go. So what else do we do with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everything, right? If you have no other thing to do with it, what happens to it? It goes to the landfill.
Yeah. And we end up burying.
And everything with recycling has a recycling life, and eventually it will go to a landfill. So
you just want to get as much use out of it as you can. You know, economically feasible.
Yes, yeah. Maximize that.
Yeah,
you know, so. I found it. You know, you brought up about if you have a market for it, and knowing where you are in your area about that. If there's a market, I recently traveled, and actually we're in Chicago just the other day, and at the breakfast area that we were at, the paper plates and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and get your food. I took a picture of it, so I'm reading it off my phone here, but it says. Okay. On the plate, it says recyclable with an asterisk.
Yeah.
And renewable, double asterisk. And then when you read the information that's printed on the plate, because I was like, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
These paper plates are recyclable that I'm eating my food off of. That's really interesting because, food residue. I harp on that. You can't have contaminated. So the asterisk may be recycled if you have access to a recycler that accepts paper products containing food residue. Such facilities may not exist in your area. There we go. So I think we've been taking advantage of this. This is recyclable. Maybe. Wait, more information coming. And I think that's the confusion. And then the renewable portion. it talks about containing approximately 91% renewable material. It may include, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But that recyclable portion is fascinating to me. And the use of that symbol, the three arrows
three,
in
three
the,
arrows,
the triangle. The
triangle, you know, chasing yeah, themselves.
Yep,
yeah.
And talked about it being for reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, that was the three arrows, the three yeah. corners, the three lines, all that stuff. And you see that I see that on a lot of stuff. And I've been talking about this for a while, that you know, it's on material. And it says that, and then there might be an asterisk, kind of like the plate that I just mentioned, yeah. how it's recyclable at a facility that can accept it. Yeah. You know, it's disappointing. It adds to the confusion. Yeah. Is it recyclable? Is it always recyclable? Is it sometimes recyclable? Where is it recyclable? All these other questions that come up from it. And it's, I think it's interesting that we need to step back and be like, what are we doing with that symbol?
This is a much bigger
yeah.
challenge than we want it to be.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. You know, you took something really good to say it's made from this and, you know, say it's made from recyclable materials, but is it recyclable? Mm-hmm. Just because it's made from it does not mean it. Or it could be a compilation of, this is made from five different types of recyclable materials, but together, it's garbage. So just always confusion, and always you need to just be cautious, I guess.
I think one of the first times you told me about the recycling symbol was that means primarily that materials have been used, recycled materials have been used to make that. Not necessarily that it is recycled.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Darn it. You know,
well, you know, and I can remember many, many years ago in another locale when I was substantially younger, one of the things that Scouts used to do is we'd do paper drives because yeah. we had a roofing company that had a process they used to shred that up and make that and use it as an insulation.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Quonset hut was totally full, no, we found a better thing to do now. So here we have a Quonset hut full of newspapers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't do well there when they just sit like that. So.
Yep.
But, I mean, there are things. One of the things I think shredded newspaper was used a lot. Bedding,
yeah.
So we've seen that there mm-hmm. are things, but how much of a market is there?
Yeah, yeah. Can you justify stockpiling it and holding on to it to use it or not?
Yeah.
There's always those variables involved, just with any of the recycling yeah. products. So
plenty. There yep. we go. Yeah. That's some of the issues we deal with.
Yeah. I had that conversation with someone about solar panels, too, and the old ones that were first put out. They're saying, mm-hmm. well, now they're worn out. You know, what can we do with them? It's like, as far as I know, there's nothing. And you start asking solar companies. And they're like, yes, get solar. It's 100% recyclable. Like, how? Great. Will you take these? No. Well, who's going to recycle them? Well, you got to go down to Arizona. but why should I get into solar? Well, it's made from 100% recyclable materials. Okay, there's a mixture of wood and wire and metal and glass. And yeah, those materials separately are recyclable. But together, unless you're going to pick it all apart and get it to the proper recycling, it's not. And so as is, it's garbage. So that's mm-hmm. the hard part, you know, having that discussion. Yes, it's made from recyclable materials. Yeah, but unless you separate them, it's not recyclable.
And those are the same things you were talking about, things like when they talk renewable energy, wind turbines.
Yep.
What do you do with them when you decommission? And now we're starting to see companies that are coming up with a process yeah. to handle like the blades and stuff. Yeah. So
to grind them up and mix yeah. them in with concrete and can go on roads and be used that way. Okay, great. But yeah, we didn't have that idea.
It took a while to get there.
Years ago when yeah. they first
started
coming up.
It took a while to get here. Yeah. So there's a bunch of them out there yeah. somewhere. So yeah, some of the challenges that we continue to have. As far as the landfill operations and things go, I mean, outside of the methane and working on that. Otherwise, moving ahead, I know you're taking a look at potentially cost effectively. Is there a way to move leachate to the city and make it a permanent installation? And once again, just be really beginning some of the necessary steps to move forward with that. There is starting to be this might be something we're going to need long term.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and looking at the longevity of the a project like that, to spend the money now to have it in place.
And I know one of the things is you got to get together with city officials and talk about, is this practical? Can we work on yeah. something here?
Certainly. Where would we access it? Where, you know, through some of the logistics, where we think it might work, and, you know, where we would assume. We don't want to assume going into that. So making sure we do the proper contacts and do the research on it for how far it would have to go to put the cost estimate together to say, yeah, it'll cost this much money, but we can use it for so many years. And then even if, you know, we are in 20 some years when we're closed, when we're full and we're packed and we're maxed out, we still have to collect that by the DNR regulation. So we'd still have that that project in place, and we could still benefit from having it pumped directly to the sewer system in town. So there's certainly a lot of benefits. You know, this is where the money thing is, you know, okay, can we justify spending that much money? But exploring all those things anyway of how to do it better. And
because right now we're bringing it in by truckload.
Yeah. Yep.
What, I don't know how many times, at least once a week?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As it comes out, probably, you know, like every third day, working day, maybe every other. Depends on how much stuff's coming in, how much rain's coming down, and working its way into the garbage and then filling up. So it certainly is a significant portion of our time, I'll say. As I calculated it, it's about 40% of one person's time to one operator's time to haul that. If we're pushing a million gallons of leachate out every year, which is, we're just over a million gallons this past year, past fiscal year.
And down at the sewer plant, getting it dumped in at one load is a little little bit of a... It creates some work.
We bring a truckload in of 3,400 gallons, and we pull the valve, and it, you know, gushes in 15 minutes versus being able to spread that out over several hours all night long and trickle it in. It would be much easier to deal with on their end. So there's some good things for everybody involved.
Things to keep working on.
That's right.
John Rosa, our guest on our program today, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.